Were people happy or angry with our Zelda comments last week? And did we ever get that PS3 back from Sony? All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show week of November 26th, 2006. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm, kind of
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
Happy Thanksgiving, belated, to everybody out there. Hope you're stuffed full. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're listening to us live on All Games Radio, welcome. You can join us in our chat room. Go to chat.allgames.com or just click on chat on the homepage of allgames.com, and I will be reading comments from chat throughout the evening. Kind of like Chrisfield 1724 saying death to the Bobby Blackwolf. If you want to call in a little bit later tonight, you can call us. There's two ways. You can either use Skype, which is voice over IP software, Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, or you can call our toll-free number in the United States and Canada, 1-866-880-0156. We don't have those open right now. We will be opening them up a little bit later on. If you are listening to us on the podcast, you can either leave us a voicemail on that Skype line, or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, and you might hear your email read on the air. We actually have a few tonight, some reactions to last week's show. And I want to thank Kropotkin and Hendrix for providing their weekly audio game review this week. It was Capcom Classics Reloaded something or other for the PSP. I forgot the full title already. It's one guy in the UK and one guy in the US giving their honest opinion and a few jokes about a different game each week. We premiere it just before this show goes live, or you can download it as a podcast on our website, allgames.com. That link and many others discussed tonight will be on our website, bobbyblackwolfshow.com. So, to update people on the shipping situation of my consoles, I have to begin by giving some really big props to Sony. So I got to give some big props to Sony, which is something that I usually don't do all that often. And this is about their customer service. Wednesday, I got my PS3 back, or I got a new PS3. Brand new box, basically had everything in the box except for the Talladega Nights Blu-ray. I was very impressed at the turnaround time, and essentially this is the way it worked. It was 4 business days from when I reported it to when it was all completely resolved. I got Friday morning I called, and I talked about this on my show last week. Friday they overnighted me the coffin, which got here Monday morning, about 9:30 in the morning. So it got here bright and early Monday morning. So Monday afternoon, I shipped the coffin with my PS3 and all my stuff in it, cable-wise. Like, I kept the Blu-ray, DVD, and I kept the instruction manuals. Shipped them all back, and that was overnighted. They received it Tuesday morning, and Tuesday night they overnighted me a new console. So Wednesday afternoon, the UPS guy came and gave me my PS3. Gave me a new PS3, and this one does work. This one does work. So big props to Sony. They have a very, very fast turnaround time. I called Microsoft thinking that I would have to pay for the shipping, and they're going to send me a box. Microsoft is. And they said they're going to send me a box, but they do everything UPS ground, whereas Sony does everything UPS overnight. So Monday they shipped out the box. It's still not here yet because Thursday was a business, not a business day. So takes about 3 to 5 days to get here, and I guess it'll come Monday morning. And the box gets shipped back to them UPS ground, which is 3 to 5 days. And then they spend 3 to 5 days looking at it. And then they ship a replacement console back, UPS ground, 3 to 5 days. So Sony, it took 4 days start to finish, and it's going to be about 3 weeks for Microsoft to go from start to finish. And everybody's calling me a fanboy because I'm giving Sony props because of this. And, you know, I have to, you know, be honest. Their customer service was really, you know, top-notch. They were very quick on the turnaround, especially in lieu of all these shortages and all that stuff. And I got to give them props because they're not doing what Microsoft is doing. And I actually, because my points after repair thing, if you remember that from the previous Xbox 360, where, you know, we need to get refunded points on a separate gamer tag in order to be able to play our arcade games offline or on different profiles than what bought them. A supervisor called me back right after I got off the phone with Microsoft, and I actually asked him, I'm like, okay, so why do you guys use Ground when your competitor uses UPS Overnight? And he's like, well, the reason we do that, and it's not just a cost issue, which is, to me, a lie. It is a cost issue, but they claim that when you use UPS Ground, the least amount of people handle the package. When you ship something overnight, they usually farm it out to a courier. This is according to the supervisor over at 1-800-4-MY-XBOX. And so they don't use UPS Overnight because they don't want all those people handling the package. But I think it's just a cost thing. So that's the story. So my 360 is still here. My PS3 is now here, and I have to send my 360, and I'll be without my 360 for about 2 to 3 weeks, which is going to suck. Because, you know, and what sucks is, you know, Small Arms came out, and I don't want to buy it because I'm just going to have to go through this whole points after repair thing when I get my new 360 back, so I've got to hold off on Small Arms. Clef5 wants to know, Black Wolf, what do you think of Resistance? Now, here's the thing. I do have Resistance, Fall of Man. And you've got to take my opinion. Like, I'm not the right person to give an opinion on. I got Resistance because I wanted to be able to get a game because last time I bought a PlayStation, it didn't read discs. And so I needed to get something so I could see if it read discs or not, and it wound up it didn't. So it was probably, but that was before I even opened the game. But I don't like first-person shooters. I'm not a big fan of first-person shooters. I have played through a little bit of it. I can't get far because one of the reasons that I don't like first-person shooters because I suck at it, which is completely a personal problem and not the fault of the game designers at all. You know, I prefer, like, racing games, but I didn't want Ridge Racer. But Resistance did look, you know, it was very smooth. You know, there weren't that much graphical hiccups. Now, it's browner than Zelda, so I can say that. But, you know, it looked very smooth and, you know, it sounds like it might even have a slight interesting story, but I can't play through the game enough to find that out. And I haven't played it online, although I have seen that there are people playing it online. But the friends list, it's not the same friends list that I have on the PS3. So it's good, you know, it's not like I can have any friends list. By the way, if you are on, if you actually have a PlayStation 3 and are playing it, my name is Black Wolf, all one word, on there. So you can go ahead and send me a friends request. So, but one game that I am really excited about on the PS3 is a game that not many people are, and that's because that most people have played this game for the PS3 if they've walked into a Target, and that's MotorStorm. And I played the demo at Target, and I was not impressed with the demo at Target. You know, I could see all the jaggies. I could see it was slow drop frames, long load times. The demo that I downloaded off the PlayStation Store to my PS3 has to be a different build than the one that's in the retail stores, because there's a little bit of slowdown right at the beginning of each race, but that's about it, and I think it looks fantastic. Now, is MotorStorm something that can't be done on the 360? Like, well, you know, can the 360 achieve the graphics that are in MotorStorm? I think the answer is yes. Is anything right now achieving the graphics that's in MotorStorm? That's not called Gears of War? No, nothing's achieving it. Now, will there eventually be an Xbox 360 game that looks like MotorStorm? Yeah, I'm sure there will be. But MotorStorm looks really, really nice now that I'm not standing 1 foot away from the TV, and, you know, it is really fast. And a lot of people are, like, upset at the ground textures or something, and I can't see what they're being all upset about. So maybe it's a personal opinion to me. I think it looks fantastic. And I keep going back to that demo. That demo is probably the one thing I've done on my PS3 the most, other than playing Final Fantasy XII, which I did have to go get the PS2 memory adapter. The only thing that sucks about the PS2, playing a PS2 game, is if you still have a PS2, like maybe in another room, the memory card thing is only one way. So if you get the little $15 memory card adapter, you plug it into the PS3, and it copies the entire memory card to your hard drive. So, you know, I can continue where I left off in Final Fantasy XII, but let's say, you know, now I want to play Final Fantasy XII on my PS2, which we've moved to another TV, while my girlfriend plays Oblivion or whatever she's going to be playing on the main TV. I cannot extract my saved game off of the PS3 and put it on the memory card anymore. So it's like once you start the game on the PS3, you are stuck playing it on the PS3, and you can't get it to a PS2 memory card anymore, which I think kind of sucks. I don't think it'll affect a lot of people, because most people are probably going to be just, you know, replacing the PS2 with the PS3, and it's not going to matter. But I kind of would have liked to have seen the ability to put my save games back on a PS2 memory card and take them to a PS2 somewhere. Tedekin asks, is the PS3 backwards compatible with PS1? Yes, actually, I started playing Final Fantasy VII again. And we tested like some Adventures of Lomax game that I think my girlfriend got from VG Expo. And we tested that with it, and it works fine. And, you know, it also works with the PS1 memory cards. So, yes, it is backwards compatible, and I haven't found any problems yet, but I also haven't been rigorously testing it. Some people are telling me that I'm not really missing anything with small arms, so we'll probably have to have people call in to talk about it, because that was the game everybody was looking forward to, Small Arms on the Xbox Live Arcade. Bloodshot Robot says, Small Arms is nothing but frustration. Stickman says, wow, Final Fantasy VII, why? Because it's been a while since I played it, and I wanted to pop it in, and so I played it for like an hour and saw that the PS1 emulation worked fine. When I put Final Fantasy VII on my PS2 like a couple years ago, it actually crashed about 30 minutes in, so I got farther. And Tall Kid says, Small Arms is great, what is the number? We don't have the phones open right now, but we will have them soon. You know, I haven't, like I said, I haven't bought Small Arms, so I'm, you know, relying on what people are telling me. Now, as far as emails, now that we've, you know, kind of talked about the PS3 a little bit, we're going to go to the Wii stuff, and I did get some emails, and it was kind of surprising because, you know, I get people in the chat room that were kind of upset at my comments, but the emails I got were positive, which was really nice to see. Now, this first email is from Yama86. He says, hi, Bobby. First off, sorry about your PS3 being dead on arrival. I would be crushed if that happened to me. That seriously sucks, and I hope you get that replacement soon. And I got it Wednesday, so I'm all happy. The reason for my message is to compliment you and thank you for your show Sunday. Scott Rubin called in and said he expected you to be more wowed. Personally, I would have had trouble believing your opinions if you had been, quote, dazed by the almighty power that is Wii, unquote. Too many people do that at every system launch. Your impressions were honest and objective, and I found them to be more credible because you had a grounded view. I was able to get a Wii as well. I had to camp out for 14 hours in 25-degree weather. It was cold but fun. I was surprised to see that most of my fellow campers were families. No one I talked to was planning on eBaying the system. They wanted to play it, and there were over 100 people in line in 84 systems. I picked up Zelda and an extra Wiimote and nunchuck from my fiancé. We also named two retro controllers. Lucky bastard. Once I had everything up and running, I actually found the Wii interface pleasant. I like the simplicity and flow and haven't had any trouble with typing on the on-screen keyboard. I know that's a different opinion than yours, but it's just personal preference. I agree that they used way too much brown in the color palette for Zelda. Overall, the colors are a little too muted for my taste, but I love the gameplay and story. I'm running it on a 50-inch DLP, and I don't have the component cables yet. I hope that once I get the component signal going, 480p will sharpen the picture and give the color a little more pop. Anyways, keep up the good work. Yama86. And I do want to say, I did get the component cables Monday, and they do make a big difference, especially in Zelda, where the first screen, like right when you start, they say, here's, you know, calibrate your brightness settings or something. And the brightness, it seemed that it was a lot brighter and sharper when I was running through component cables. And the colors, you know, I did start to see the greens and stuff more with the component cables. But yeah, I mean, it's not bright and vivid, which is a design change, and it's, you know, it's a design change they made, and it doesn't affect the gameplay really at all. You know, the color scheme used, it could have been in black and white, like that one Wii game, I think Sadness, and it would have been just fine. I figured out also that the issues that I was having with the keyboard, on-screen keyboard interface, because I said it was kind of jumpy around for me, I figured out the reason that was. It's because I sit down on my couch, and the sensor bar is on top of my TV. So if I'm standing up and actually level with the TV, then the keyboard is a lot easier to type on. So that was user error on the keyboard interface. So Dana wrote in, said, "Hey, Black Wolf, great show last week. I truly do like your show more than the other guys." Well, thank you very much. I know this is a bit long, but it has some good Wii info. Now, on Wii sensitivity settings, I want to give you some info on the Wii and sensitivity. You probably already figured it out, but the sensitivity setting has nothing to do with the motion sensitivity. All it does is change the Wiimote sensitivity of picking up IR source lights. If you set the sensitivity too high, the Wiimote could pick up IR sources other than the sensor bar. If you set it too low, it may not even pick up the sensor bar if you're greater than 8 feet away. I messed around with it. Unless you have some heavy-duty lighting or other IR devices around the middle setting, it just seems fine. I bumped it up to 4 just because I can, set it at 5, and still not pick up any other IR sources. You can see other IR sources using the calibration tool. They appear as other dots on the screen. You should only see 2 dots that represent the 2 sets of IR transmitters, actually 2 sets of 4, on either side of the sensor bar. The interesting thing is that the sensor bar is nothing more than a couple of IR LEDs. The cable just sends it power. No signaling is sent back through. The Wiimote just communicates its orientation based on its reception of the 2 IR sources. And what is interesting to me is that I can only imagine how accurate and cool it would be if there were more IR LEDs. Imagine a TV with IR LEDs on each corner. If that were the case, the Wiimote would probably be 10 times more accurate. Hopefully the next Wii console will have even better tech. I look forward to it. And so I wanted to point this out that, you know, even I was wrong on this, and it is interesting. I always thought the sensor bar was the actual sensor. And, you know, I thought that the Wiimote was sending out the IR signal and the sensor bar was sensing it, when it's actually the other way around, which surprised me. I didn't know this until this week. But the sensor bar is actually sending out the IR, and the actual sensor is inside the Wiimote. And this is also why, like, candles can screw up, you know, because the candles might send out the signal. But also you can use just 2 remotes, you know, just 2 regular remotes that you have around, fire them at your Wii remote and it'll pick them up. So, you know, some people are already hacking and trying to create a wireless sensor bar, which I think would be cool. That way you don't have to worry about the wire being long enough or not long enough or anything like that. And Bloodshot Robot says, who was the first person to point this out to you? And I don't remember. I don't remember. I think it was Bloodshot. So to continue on in his email, he on Zelda being too brown, he says, "I definitely agree with in that I am not thrilled with the art style of Zelda Twilight Princess. I actually never was. Back in the day," which was a Wednesday, by the way, "I complained that the art style seemed a bit lacking and inconsistent when compared to the great art style of Wind Waker. That turns out to be the case, in my opinion. I think the engine is also very similar to the Wind Waker engine. I believe it's just an updated version of it. I think that the problem comes down to textures and color palette, as you said. Still, at times, the game looks very good, and there is just so much variety in the game and gameplay that I don't think the art style takes much away from the game. It still has the great gameplay and RPG-light progression and adventure that makes Zelda games fun. I will say another area of Zelda Twilight Princess that I think is not as good as Wind Waker is the story presentation. At least for the first 7 hours or so, the story seems a bit too linear and feels too much like a very long training mission. On the plus side, I think this just points out how deep the game is. It's just that in general, Zelda games, even at the beginning, feel more like an adventure you uncover, whereas Twilight seems to just push you along the story a bit too much. It may sound like I am not enjoying Zelda on the Wii, but that's not the case at all. I am still very impressed with the game, and I am 8 hours into it, and I have only completed 1 dungeon. So I think it will probably be a great game." Excuse me. So thank you, Dana. And James Patrick says, "Got a bunch of Disney fans. Everything should be rainbow and lollipops, I guess." And see, that's the whole reason right there. James Patrick's comment is the entire reason that I think that they went with the art direction, the art style they did, with the very muted colors, you know, and sometimes looking very drab, very brownish, you know, very, you know, stuff like that, is because people equate colors with kiddie. You know, I mean, even Gears of War, you know, which is not a kiddie game at all, but there's not that much color in that game. I mean, it really is just a whole bunch of shades of brown and gray and stuff like that. So I think that's why they did it. Now, it doesn't take anything away from the gameplay, and it's still, you know, a very fun game. And yes, there are more colors than brown. I do admit that, you know. Once you get out, there is green around, and, you know, so there are colors, but it's not as bright and colorful as Zelda always has been. I mean, I still think that even Ocarina of Time was was more colorful and had a better art style than the one here. But like I said, art style doesn't necessarily have to make the game, and I'm still playing it. It's not like Monkey Ball that I want to take away and throw under a fire or throw under a bus or something. So another game that I did not talk about much last week is Excite Truck, and that's because I was enjoying it so much that I wanted to make sure I was still enjoying it before really talking about it. And I do really still enjoy Excite Truck. Now, if I compare Excite Truck to Motor Storm in terms of control, I think Excite Truck has the better motion sensing, because you can, in Motor Storm, turn on the motion sensing control, which is pretty much the same as Excite Truck. You move the controller around to steer. And I think Excite Truck pulls it off a lot better than Motor Storm does. One thing that people should know about Excite Truck is that, you know, you may already know this, you may not. It is primarily a stunt game. It's more like Project Gotham in the way that you progress through the game. Project Gotham has the kudos system. Well, Excite Truck has stars. And in order to complete a race, or not really complete a race, but, you know, to get the star on the race to be able to open up more races, you have to get, it doesn't matter what place you get, you just have to get a prerequisite number of stars. If you play as it's a race and try to get the fastest time, you're going to lose, because you're not going to have enough stars. My girlfriend is actually amazing at the game, and that's because she hasn't really figured out how to really control her vehicle. And so she's drifting a lot, doing a lot of crashes. You actually get a star for crashing if it's a nice crash. You know, and but she's been getting a lot more. She'll rack up so many stars, and when we play multiplayer, I'll finish first. She may not even finish the race, but she'll still win because she has a lot more stars than I do. So I think that's a little bit backwards, but it's not too bad. But the reason that you can get away with, you know, crashing a lot and all that stuff is because Excite Truck has the traditional Nintendo rubber band AI. Now, if you don't know what rubber band AI is, it's what Nintendo uses in all, like, all their kart racing games and all that stuff. And it's basically, if you're doing badly, so is everybody else. If you're doing really well, so is everybody else. They kind of stay with you, and it makes it challenging, and it makes it a race all the way up until the end. If you actually stop, the other cars on the track will also stop and wait for you to start going again. So you're never truly out of the race. And it is kind of, sometimes it's a little frustrating that, you know, I'll get, like, you know, second place in a race, and then the next time I do it, my time is like 5 or 10 seconds faster, and I'm sixth place when I finish the race. So you might want to know about that. But, you know, that stuff aside, once you kind of have that mentality of, you know, oh, I'm going for stunts, I'm going for tricks, not really for placement, because it really doesn't take your placement into account. Except at the end, you get like 50 stars if you're in first place, 25 stars if you're in second place. But if you can get all those stars and get the minimum requirement without placing, then go for it. Chrisville 1724 says, I'll trade you Monkey Ball for Madden. No, thanks. That's quite all right. And THK says, Excite Truck's music is like music for an 80s wrestler. And since I don't have an SD card, I can't test change in the music. But I want to do that. I need to go get an SD card, but I didn't want to go out on Black Friday or the weekend after to look for an SD card that worked. James Patrick is saying, gamers are more cynical now. And, you know, I mean, I'm still having fun with the game, but I do kind of look at things a little bit better, you know, a little bit closer. And, you know, I want to be honest. You know, if you don't mind some of the stuff that I say, which is entirely possible, there's some things that some other gamers don't like that I don't mind at all, and I still enjoy those games, then, you know, that's great. You know, Excite Truck and Wii Sports are the games that I'm going back to on my Wii the most. I am playing through Zelda, and I want to kill Monkey Ball. Now, we've also talked about real quick what happens if, like, your Sony, your PlayStation doesn't work, your PlayStation 3, or your Xbox 360 doesn't work. What does Sony and Microsoft do? Well, I also want to fill you in on what happens if your Wii doesn't work. Now, Nintendo probably has the most forgiving policy in the world, on one condition. So IGN has reported that they've received words from numerous sources stating that the initial Wii Connect 24 update on the Wii has a tendency to cause a recurring error code. Some of the codes like 110213 and 32002. Now, Nintendo says, you know, here's what you can do if you are find yourself in the predicament. Nintendo has two options in place to resolve the problem, which is basically replacing your console. If you do not have any data saved to your system that is important to keep, then you can contact Nintendo Customer Service and they will ship a new console to you in 3 to 4 business days. Now, basically what that means is that they ship you the coffin, but inside this coffin is a new Wii. And they also take your credit card number. And basically what you're supposed to do is once you receive the coffin with the new Wii, you put your broken Wii in it and you send it back to them. And if you don't send it back to them, they charge your credit card. So I think that's very lenient. They do that with DSs as well, because I know that's their DS policy. Now, however, if you have important data saved to your system, like virtual console games that you've bought, data like game saves and Miis are not disastrous, but virtual console data is. And, you know, they are re-downloadable to the same console you bought them on, but if you switch consoles, you can't, you lose them. And so you'd have to buy them again. So the option you have to do then is Nintendo will send you a shipping label, which will take 4 to 10 business days. So I bet it's UPS ground. Once you receive the shipping label, you can use it to send the console to Nintendo for repairs, which is probably UPS ground, after which they will send it back to you. So it's about 8 to 12 business days total. So Nintendo kind of more mirrors Microsoft if you have stuff saved, like virtual console stuff. So hope your console doesn't get bricked. Stickaxe asks, why did Black Wolf even get Monkey Ball? Sorry if I already said it. Well, A, I liked Monkey Ball already, like the GameCube version, and I didn't think they could mess it up. And the other one was my girlfriend really wanted to play it. So we're going to take a very quick music break, which will not be on the podcast, but I need to rest my voice and read through chat and figure out what we're going to do. We do have a couple stories left, but then I will. But I will also be opening the phone lines, and we can talk about the Wii, we can talk about the 360, we can talk about the PS3, anything video game related. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio online at allgames.com.
If Bobby Black Wolf was a storybook character, he would have smothered Grandma with a pillow, ate Little Red Riding Hood, and bent that woodsman over a stump and sodomized him with his own axe. I guess it's a good thing he sticks to internet radio. And now, more of the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
Thank you very much, Sageclaw, for the bumper. If you want to send in a bumper just like that, give us a call on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, and say your name, where you're from, preferably, and you know something. You know, now back to the Bobby Blackwell Show, and you too can fight new bumper deficiency. One thing I did right before I opened up the phone lines here, I wanted to relate that I took my Wii with me, yeah, keep making the jokes, kids. I took my Wii from Nintendo to my family's house for Thanksgiving, and my mom played tennis recreationally, and my brother bowled. He still bowls. He's in a couple bowling leagues. And so what I did is I hooked it up to their nice 60-inch TV, brought the component cables with me, obviously, and put in Wii Sports. And essentially what I did is I, you know, handed the remote to my mom, showed her how to put it on, you know, kind of how to strap herself in, and then I said, okay, go. And I did not tell her how to play. I just said, pretend that's a racket. Or actually, I showed her how to throw the ball up. And that was about it. Yes, GK128, my mom handled my Wii. And she did pretty good. I mean, you know, it was, you know, she didn't play it enough to really get the timing, but she was, you know, handling it like a pro. And so she enjoyed it. And then I had my brother try the bowling because he's in the bowling leagues. And he was actually kind of impressed that it did actually read some of his hooks that he would put on it. And, you know, by the end of the game, he was, you know, moving everything and he was actually getting into it. Neither of them really are gamers. I mean, my brother is a gamer, but he's one of the mainstream gamers. Like, he wants a PS3 for not much of a reason, but he wants a PS3. You know, but my mom, she hasn't played a game since Tetris, and they had an NES in the kitchen because it's a funny story. When I was at the 1990 Nintendo World Championships, that was the traveling thingamabobber that went to all these cities. I was a semifinalist in Atlanta in 1990, and what that was the famed gold cartridge that you probably saw on eBay for like $15,000. I want one, but I didn't get one. Where you had 6 minutes 32 seconds to get 50 coins in Super Mario Brothers, one lap in Rad Racer, and the rest of your points in Tetris. And so my parents got addicted to Tetris after seeing it when I was in the semifinals here in Atlanta. That was the last video game they played. Now, I mean, I did get my dad a DS Lite for his birthday because he's like, I need a handheld system that plays poker and Sudoku. And so that was pretty easy choice. So now we have stuff to get him. for Christmas and stuff. So now we know, you know, oh, he has a DS Lite, so if I see a good casino game or something that he'd like. So, I mean, I got him Brain Age was the Sudoku game I got him. And I think he'll enjoy it. And Tiger Claw says, so Black Wolf beat his own mom at Wii Tennis. No, we didn't do two-player. I had both remotes there, but we didn't do any two-player stuff because of the way the room was set up and all that stuff, and I wanted to see them to try it, and I didn't want to beat them. So I do have the phone lines open. Bobby Black Wolf Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. I do know that a couple people want to call in. By the way, that phone number is only toll-free in the United States and Canada. While you can call it from... you know, anywhere in the world, you're going to be responsible for the charges to call our 1-866 number if you're in the UK. And I'm going to go ahead and just start reading the next story, and then if somebody calls, I'll just cut off and go to the call here. But the Wall Street Journal has reported that a video game maker has finally succeeded in getting kids up off the couch and moving around, but the new approach is turning out to be more exercise than some players bargained for. Yes, that's all about the Wii. The new console has been wildly successful, selling out its stores and winning high marks from critics and game buffs, but as players spend more time with the Wii, some are noticing that hours waving the game's controller around can add up to fairly intense exertion, resulting in aches and pains common in more familiar forms of exercise. They're reporting aching backs, sore shoulders, even something some have dubbed Wii elbow. It's harder than playing basketball, says Caitlin Frank, a 12-year-old from Louisville, Kentucky. She's been camped out in front of her family's TV, fine-tuning her bowling motion and practicing boxing footwork in two of the Wii's games. Almost immediately, she says, her right arm started to feel numb. In Rochester, Minnesota, Jeremy Scherer and his wife spent 3 hours playing tennis and bowling, two of the games included with the Wii. Mr. Scherer says he managed to improve his scores at the cost of his shoulders and back, which were still aching the next day. He says, quote, I was using muscles I hadn't used in a while. Unquote, and he is a computer programmer who's not very active, according to himself. So he's vowing these nightly Wii workouts to get in better shape. Now, another hazard is collisions. All those flailing arms can sometimes inadvertently smack into lamps, furniture, and even keep competing players. Yes, my girlfriend has smacked my left arm many times with the Wiimote. IGN has said that one player testing the Wii lost her grip and sent the controller flying into a wall. That's why you have the wrist strap. Blaine Stewart of Rochester, New York, mistakenly whacked his fiance, Shelley, I don't even want to try to pronounce that last name, Hayfully, I think, while playing tennis and also accidentally hit his dog while bowling. Good job. Nintendo itself warns players about this risk just before a game, just before some of the games begin. A message flashes on the screen saying, make sure there are no people or objects around you that you might bump into while playing. And some Wii games also have a pop-up reminders every 15 minutes advising gamers to take a break. And the funny thing is, this pop-up, if you look at the pop-up and you don't read the text, it actually looks like it's saying, please go jump out a window. Go look at it. You'll see. It says, you know, when you see, you know, please go take a break, it shows like an open window and the wind coming out like you've jumped out of it. Now, Perrin Kaplan, a spokeswoman from Nintendo, says the company hasn't received complaints from any gamers about soreness. Quote, it was not meant to be a Jenny Craig supplement. If people are finding themselves sore, they need to exercise more. Unquote. While she says it might be more fun to play the games more aerobically, it's possible to play without leaving the couch, and I can attest to that. Ryan Mercer, a customs broker in Indianapolis, lists weights several times a week, but that hasn't helped much with the Wii. After playing the boxing game for an hour and a half, his arms, shoulders, and torso were aching. Quote, I was soaking wet with sweat head to toe. I had to go take a shower. And the next morning, he had trouble putting his shirt on, unquote. So doctors advise stretch out and be sure to take care of any injuries afterwards. Quote, it's just like athletic play, unquote, according to Lena Kang, an orthopedic hand surgeon at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York City. You know, and Crispy points out, you don't have to fully swing the remote. You can have your hand down and do it. And it's true. I mean, most of these games, it's just a flick, really. But it's you know, some people are having more fun making the full motions and stuff. And Clef5 says he played the game for an hour and a half. Of course he is sore. What Up G says, the problem is that the commercials and et cetera show so much over-the-top actions. As I understand it, you don't need to use that much force. And it's true. I mean, he's got a point. Everything that you see shows everybody using all these over-the-top actions that you don't need to use to play most of these games. So now that we're, you know, we've pretty much weed out a little bit, I want to talk really quick about the Xbox 360 and the video marketplace that came up, because since I haven't sent my 360 back, I was able to look at this, and boy, was that sucker slow on Wednesday. I mean, even downloading trailers was slow. I wasn't even buying anything, and it was pretty slow. Well, apparently it kind of screwed some people over financially. The BBC has actually reported that Microsoft has promised to refund gamers who have experienced problems with the new Xbox Live video service. Now, U.S. Xbox 360 owners are able to download high-definition TV programs and films, including shows such as Star Trek and CSI, but Star Trek's not in high definition. Thank you very much. Major Nelson actually said that, quote, technical issues have resulted in a very unpleasant experience for users, unquote. Speed problems and videos not being delivered is being blamed on extremely high number of downloads. Now, he said, quote, we've made progress over the past 24 hours, and the team is dedicated to fixing the issues and continues to work as fast as they can around the clock to get the service running as seamlessly as you have come to expect, unquote. So if you had problems, you're supposed to call 1-800-4-MY-XBOX, but that's probably already, you know, they've probably already fixed it, and, you know, if you had one of these problems, you already know to, you probably, hopefully, already gotten reimbursed. But that just shows that, you know, when you're trying to do something new, it's not going to work right the first day, so what people should do is not use it on the first day, you know, and not try to buy anything. Because apparently what happened is, like, some people bought movies and never got the movies, and they expired. You know, like, they couldn't get the full movie downloaded in 24 hours. So, TV shows are probably not as much of a problem because once you buy them, they're yours and you can re-download them as many times as you want. I kind of wish there were some more high-def content. Like, even some of the movies aren't in high-def. Like, The Matrix is not in high-def. I would love to see The Matrix in high-def. One thing that I would like to see, and I think somebody needs to do this pretty soon, is take a show that's broadcast on a channel that's not high definition and put it up on Xbox Live in high definition. I would so buy each episode of Battlestar Galactica if they put it in 720p widescreen on Xbox Live, because Sci-Fi Channel here is you know, a basic cable station, and it looks like crap on my high def TV because it's not even a digital channel, it's an analog channel. So, you know, I would like to see stuff like that, get some exclusives like that. But then again, I also already get Battlestar Galactica. I can get it on demand from Comcast, and it's free. But it's not in high def. So, I mean, I would pay for a high def version of it. And Zappy agrees. Zappy drools at high def Battlestar. But hopefully NBC will get on the bandwagon, because NBC kind of owns Sci-Fi. They're partnered with Sci-Fi and stuff like that. Shadow Slayer says, Video Marketplace needs good TV shows. And there's some good ones on there, but not, you know, they need Battlestar. That give me Battlestar, please. Zappy says, well, Microsoft needs to sign NBC. And see, they've done NBC stuff before, because, like, the Conan O'Brien clips are up there. And so they have a relationship with NBC, especially since, you know, there's this whole channel called MSNBC. Yeah. What Up G actually asked a question that it looks like I can answer. I keep reading mixed messages about the HD DVD drive, I think, for the 360. Is it really in HD or not, depending on if you view HDMI digital as being the real HD versus analog 1080p? What is the deal? I consider 720p and up to be high definition. And with my component cables in the Xbox 360, I have the high def player running at either 720p or 1080i. High-definition television over, like, that I get from my cable is 1080i, and I consider that high-definition. So, yes, I consider the HD DVD player using ye old component cables to be high-definition. It works fine. That being said, so does the Blu-ray player in the PS3. Then again, I also have 720p. So, you know, I haven't tried this whole to see if it's giving me a 480p signal or whatever some people are reporting. So, yes, I consider those high definition. James Patrick says, if Battlestar or Doctor Who or Stargate were filmed in high def, I would pick up some episodes. I do know that Battlestar Galactica is filmed in high def because NBC actually did air, like, the end of season one right before season two premiered, and it was in high definition, and it looked amazing. It was beautiful. I drooled a lot. 1-866-880-0156 is our toll-free number. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype if you want to call in and talk about anything that we've been talking about. So about the PlayStation 3, because, you know, we all were able to get PlayStation 3, right? Yeah, well, GameSpot reports that analysts surveyed say the number of launch PlayStation 3s available in the U.S. was even lower than expected But Sony says it shipped as many as possible. Now, many gamers who have been searching desperately for a PlayStation 3 since the console's launch to sell it in North America on November 17th have come up empty-handed. A combination of high demand and low supply has resulted in nationwide sellouts of the console, many stores exhausting their initial supplies within minutes. Gamers winced when Sony announced that only 400,000 units would be up for grabs in North America on launch day, but according to Bloomberg, even that number may have been optimistic. Several industry analysts... Actually, we have a phone call coming in, so I'm going to go ahead and cut this off in the middle here, and then I'm going to pick up the phone. Bobby Black will show you're on the air. Who is this?
This is Stick Axe. Yeah.
Hey, Stick Axe, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I was just listening to some of your older shows because I was bored. Don't ask.
Okay.
And there are two things that I really wanted to call in about because I was bored.
Okay. Go for it.
One of them you were talking about, like, the eBay sellers,
mm-hmm.
the people that buy things on launch days just so they can sell them on eBay.
Right.
I think that is really, 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 really dumb.
Okay, and why is that?
Because, I mean, there are gamers in that line, too, and it's really, really annoying for people to get really, really greedy about something, about that thing. So, like, the only chance gamers can get to buy them now is for them to pay, like, $1,500. And I think it's dumb.
Well, to play devil's advocate here, because I mean, I've actually brought that up with, you know, people that I've talked to that are eBaying, and they're like, well, if they really wanted the system, they could have gotten here before me.
Yeah, and, like, one metaphor I always like to use is that, imagine you're in McDonald's, and, like, the person in front of you, and, well, you have just enough money to buy, like, a quarter pounder or something, and you're like, well, hold on, I lost my train of thought. Yeah. And then the guy in front of you knows that, and he's like, so he goes to the front of the line and then orders all the quarter pounders in the store.
Okay.
And, like, turns around, once he gets them, he turns around and says, hey, I know quarter pounders are like $2. I'll give them to you for
$5.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you be just ticked?
I would. I'm not going to be defending the eBay people. And I don't think that's a very good analogy because, you know, if they bought all the quarter pounders, then they also bought all the Big Macs and all that stuff because,
yeah. Yeah, I know, but...
You still there?
Never mind.
Oh, no, don't.
Yeah.
You were doing good there. So what else did you want to bring up?
You were also saying, like, stuff about advertising in games.
Right.
And... I think that, like, you keep saying that as long as they're not screwing it up, it should be it's fine.
As long as they're not screwing it up and my game is cheaper.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that advertising, the only really effective way is to put advertising in games is to screw it up for gamers, I think. Because ads in games are... supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to be memorable. You're supposed to, like, talk about them and think about them. And, you know, it's tough to do that when it's not even, you can barely see it in the game. And so companies will soon realize that, you know,
Well, not really. I mean, it's not really to make you talk about them. It's to make you kind of, even if it's just for a flash, they want you to be able to see it. So then maybe if you're in the store and you're saying, oh, hey, I've heard of this, maybe I'll get this, you know, like if you're looking for something, you know. So I think that's more what they're trying to go for and not really something that you would, it's not like a Super Bowl ad, but it's more like, you know, a billboard ad on the side of the road that, you know, as you're driving by. I think that's what they're trying to do with the gaming, or that's what they should be trying to do with the gaming ads. I don't want Super Bowl style ads in my games.
But wouldn't an ad be more effective if you go to, like, your work one day and say, hey, I saw in Battlefield 2142, which is supposed to be in the year 2142, an ad for the 2007 Scion. And then you keep talking about it, and they're like, oh, 2007 Scion is stuck in their head. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's stuff like that. If it's really flashy and you really, really notice it, then it's supposed to be, then it's effective because you keep talking about it and keep thinking about it and it's stuck in your head now. And you might laugh about it and say it's dumb, but it's got the point across.
Yeah, true. But I mean, I do see that, you know, some people, you know, I prefer the billboard style ads and stuff, kind of like what we see in Madden and stuff, even though that hasn't brought the price of Madden down at all. But, you know, I mean, maybe you're right. I hope you're not. You know, I hope that they don't have to screw it up to get it to work. I think there is ways to get it to work out without screwing it up. I just hope that they figure it out because I sure can't. Anything else on your mind?
Yeah, one quick question.
Okay.
Is it humanely, practically, and technically possible to, you keep saying, like, on your show to leave a bumper on Skype and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Is it technically, humanely, and practically possible to leave a bumper on the toll-free number, which is what I'm using now?
Well, you see, if you want it to be made fun of by Scott Rubin, then yes. Because I do not have access to the voicemail on the toll-free number. Scott does. And, you know, maybe he can, if he sends me the file, then yes. But I don't know if he's going to send it. He may make fun of it on All Games Interactive. He's actually done that with people who've left me messages before. So I wouldn't recommend it, but yes, it is technically possible. And if you want to do it that way, I can tell Scott to please send me the file.
Okay. Just a second.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Stick Axe.
Thank you. Bye.
See how easy it is? Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. And it's okay if... it's okay if you don't have... don't really plan out what you're going to say. Don't worry. You know, I'm just a little guy. I'm just a guy that has a karaoke microphone and a computer. So don't feel bad. And I think you did a good job. So anyway... The story that I was reading that, you know, I was, you know, won't worry about finishing. Basically, Bloomberg is saying that, or analysts are telling Bloomberg that they probably didn't even reach half of their PS3s shipments in the U.S. And Sony's saying we shipped as many as we could. Bloodshot Robot says, I know after I got finished kicking Black Wolf's ass at Pocket Bike Racer on Sunday nights, I want a Whopper. And I do say that the Burger King games make you hungry. They're making me hungry right now. Damn it. Because I haven't had dinner yet. What Up G says, is Nintendo selling those component cables online again, or are they still sold out? What I read was that they weren't going to be selling them online again until the 28th, which is Tuesday, but you may want to check shop.nintendo.com. Clef5 makes a joke, if gamers want a PlayStation 3, I suggest they try this little website called eBay. And my thing is, you don't need a PS3 yet, to me. I mean, and there aren't that many people playing online. There are a lot less people playing online than I would be expecting. You know, like going into Resistance and looking at all the games, there's not that many people there. Shadow Slayer says, karaoke microphone, so Black Wolf has a better setup than AGI. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. So one last call for calls because we are almost done for the night. Bobby Black Wolf Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. Zappy says that he thinks of the PS3 as a cheap Linux box that can play games. And actually, there's a lot of that stuff going on around right now, and I just have to say, this is not news, people. Okay? There are a couple things that people are claiming to be like this big news, and oh my god, they're hacking and they're, you know, doing all this cool stuff. Okay, in the instruction manual, they actually tell you, with diagrams, exactly what type of hard drive you need to get to upgrade the hard drive in your PlayStation 3. So it is not a big deal that somebody replaced the laptop hard drive that's in their PS3 with a bigger one. It's not huge news. It's actually a part of the system. It's part of what they do in the instruction manual. Another thing is everybody's like, oh, look, they've already installed Linux on the PlayStation 3. Yeah, Sony provides the bootloader for you. Part of the process is you take Sony's ISO, and there is actually a menu option on the cross-media bar called Install Alternate OS. And then, you know, they actually set it up to where, you know, once you install this alternate OS, it boots into that alternate OS, which we all know is Linux, because that's pretty much the only alternate OS that you can install on it right now, because it's a PowerPC architecture. And then if you're in there, it says you can type boot game OS, and that will load the cross-media bar. So I don't consider either of those news. We do have one more caller. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
This is Tall Kid.
Hey, Tall Kid, what's on your mind, man?
Nothing much. I just wanted to call in. Some people were saying that they had some problems with small arms.
Right.
I don't understand. I actually thought, as far as something close to what Super Smash Brothers, it was actually what I thought a pretty good impression.
Okay, you're breaking up, man. Are you, like, on a cell phone or something, driving around?
No, I'm not. Let me try and go into another room and see if that makes a difference.
Yeah, you're fine now.
Okay.
Okay. So, Small Arms, Smash Brothers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. As far as that, like, it's a very good, I don't know, I don't want to say clone, but I think I'd have to. It's definitely got that kind of, like, fast-paced, crazy combat that that Super Smash Brothers does have.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand why everybody's saying that they have these problems, so I was actually kind of hoping somebody that had said they had problems was going to call in so I could kind of see what they had. But I think it's actually, as far as, like, an original Xbox Live arcade game, like Cloning Clyde, I thought it was a pretty good, you know, first attempt for Astronaut Studios.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it kind of looked for me. And, you know, granted, I haven't gotten much farther in the demo. I think I was having a little bit of trouble just personally in my playing skills on the train level, which is the second mission level or whatever.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah, that's like the only thing, but I mean, I haven't gotten any farther than that. Like I said, I haven't bought the game, so I haven't played it online, so I'm not the best person to ask, and I think Bloodshot was the one that was in chat that was having the problem, the issues with it, and
there are some camera issues, I know that, like on some of the levels, if, like, there's this one particular one where it's kind of like a bunch of two platforms and there's like a gas chamber. I know on that level I've had a bunch of camera problems, but mm-hmm. other than that, I mean, I really don't see any problems with it.
Yeah, I think it's personal preference. I mean, Hendrix in chat says he wanted to like Small Arms, but it failed to entertain him, and, you know, there's really, you know, it's, if the game's not entertaining, then, you know, there's really not much to argue.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, thanks for your call, man.
You're quite welcome.
And that's it. That's all the time that we're going to have for this week. That's all I want to inflict on you guys. Thank you guys for the calls. I'm liking this, that we're getting more calls each week. All Games Interactive with Scott Rubin and Lawrence Young will be back. They took Thursday and Friday off. They will be back live each and every weeknight from the Arena Interactive Lounge in West Los Angeles at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio. So catch us live, and you can interact with the show directly. Feel free to leave us a voicemail with us on any topic or leave a bumper for use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com. Join our official forums at allgames.com. Take part in our community. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. DC Nate, Gita, Hendrix, Hermdog, Necobun, Burning Paper Sun, Fifth Dream, GK128, Oshi, Rare, Refi, The Matrix, THK, Toshin, Wyland, True, Ash Fox, Bloodshot Robot, Burr, Chrisville 1724, Cedabria, Clef 5, Crispy, DC Nate, Digital Firefly, Engda 59, Hitstun, Interlogic, James Patrick, J Dog, Justin Sane, Maximilian, Mecha, Mo, Neutron Pong, New Shiny CD, OSU Fan, Prowler, Shadow Slayer, who's still sick, get well soon, Silent Wind 96, Snake Eater, Stick Axe, Stone Raider, Sub-Z, Tall Kid, TDB30, The Real Tom Servo, Tiger Claw, Twinson, Uberfragger, VXJasonXV, What Up G, and Zappy. That's it. That's all I had for you guys. If you're listening live, the new episode of the Video Game Show is up next, and we'll be back next week. So thanks for tuning in. See you guys. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.